Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music once again tonight. What a blessing. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd turn with me to the book of Genesis in chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7. Wednesday nights we've been going through and studying on the life of Noah. And what a tremendous blessing and helpful insight is given to us into what took place with the flood. And, of course, as we learn things about humanity before the flood and the judgment, and then we learn how God dealt with humanity before the flood and then the judgment of the flood, it helps us to understand much about ourselves, because man is still the same as he was when he was created, after the fall anyway, having the sin nature, and God has not changed either. And so we can learn much from the story of Noah and the great flood. Last week, it was the miracle of the ark, and we've studied some of the things there. First of all, Noah's part was acknowledging God, building and storing food, and it was a full-time job in committing, serving the Lord and doing what God had for him to do. And then God's part, his own part, which only God could do, the design of the ark and the bringing the animals to Noah in order to be able to have them there ready to get on the ark and when the time came. And so from Genesis chapter 6 to 22, that's where we left off last week, until Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1, that's where we'll be reading tonight, there would be 120 years that had transpired between the end of chapter 6 and to the beginning of chapter 7. That's how long it would be that Noah would be building the ark. And so it doesn't give us a lot of insight into that time. Things continued to take place. God doing his part, Noah doing his part. And now if you stand with me, we'll read chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, because it's finally time for them to be delivered. It's time to take advantage of the ark. The ark is built. And so Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, "Come, thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, and the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female, of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this evening, we do thank you, Lord, for another opportunity just to be in church, the encouragement that we can find here, and just pray that we would, Lord, look to admonish one another and be an encourager of one of another. And I pray, Lord, that you would just continue to bless this church, and every time we assemble, that we would always sense your presence here. And I pray now that as we study this life of Noah and this passage of scripture we just read tonight, I just pray that you give us insight into that, empower the teaching and the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I love what it says there in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 5. It says, "And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him." Now, that's a hallelujah verse, because if you look in verse 22 of chapter 6, it says, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he." And so for 120 years, even though the Bible doesn't give us a lot of what took place during those 120 years, we do have some insight here and there concerning the time that Noah would be building the ark and some of the things that would be taking place during that 120 years. But Noah remained faithful to God. He remained for the 120 years. He just focused on what he was there to do, and he focused on his part. And he allowed God to do what God could do. He trusted that God would do what only God could do. And he just trusted that God would do his part as long as he continued to do Noah's part. It's what Noah was focused on. For 120 years, I love verse 5, and Noah did according. And he just focused on what he was here to do. Now, I love that, as we've been studying also in preparing for this Sunday and knowing that this Sunday is our 30-year anniversary. And I could have very easily preached that passage right there this coming Sunday. You know, because for 30 years, I trust that's what we have been doing as a church, is we just focused on doing our part. We have great faith that God will and God has done his part over the last 30 years. We just have to continue to do our part. And that's what we that's how we ought to face life. And our faith ought to be that God will do his part. Let God be God. Amen. Trust that he is going to do what only God can do. And he's watching to just make sure that we're doing what we ought to do. And Noah, we find, as we study here in chapter 7 of the life of Noah, that's what Noah focused on. Now, we know that during that time is 120 years. After the 120 years had passed, I don't know, it's four times as long as this church has been in existence. Amen. And the 30 years has really passed pretty quickly. It's amazing to me to think it's been 30 years since we were meeting in that upper room over there off of East Washington Street until I start looking at pictures. And then I realize, wow, there has been a lot of time. There's a lot of changes in 30 years. But as far as myself looking back, it just seems like it hasn't been just a few years, whatever. You know, just the time has so quickly flown by. And I believe that Noah, 120 years, that's how long it had been. And no doubt that time had just flown by for Noah, I believe as well. And so Noah is just still doing his part. Before the judgment of God, the deliverance was already in progress. Before the judgment of God, which would take place after the ark was built, the deliverance was already in progress. Meaning that 120 years, it was God's plan as far as how he was going to deliver. God was doing only what God can do. God sees into the future. God knows exactly what needs to be done. Only God knew what it would take to withstand the flood. He gave Noah the design for the ark that Noah could not have come up with on his own. He did not know what kind of pressure the flood would put on the ark. He did not have the ability to, the foreknowledge or the ability to design such a craft that he would put his faith in to be able to be delivered. But God knew it. Remember, the ark was God's design. And during that 120 years, Noah, without even realizing all that was in store there, he was preparing the ark. He was actually, God had him given him responsibilities. And as he was building the ark, he was preparing that which God would use to deliver him. So it was very important that Noah stayed focused on following the blueprints of God's design for the ark. Because only God would know what it would take to withstand the flood and how long it would take Noah to build it. I don't know that God took, we don't find that God told Noah exactly how long it would take for him to build it. He just said, build it. Stay focused on me, doing what I have commanded you to do. It's my design, just do it. The ark was God's design. Can I tell you, this helps us to understand and know about God's design for us as well. Helps us understand and to know that the blood of Christ was God's design. In Genesis chapter, now it was always the design. The ark is there to help us to realize how only God could design such a safeguard, Only God could design such a thing that would allow them, Noah and his family, to get through this great flood. If you look back to Genesis in chapter 3 and verse 21, after Adam sinned, we find the first of God's design mentioned. And to Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. In order to have clothes of skins, there had to be blood shed. The first of God's design revealed to us. In Exodus in chapter 12, verse 12 to 14, the Passover, as they come out of Egypt, all the other miracles of God failed to get Pharaoh to let his people go. The only thing that really succeeded, and God knew it would, was the blood. In verse 12, it says in chapter 12, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." I don't fully understand everything about the blood, but the most important thing for me to understand is God's design. Galatians in chapter 4. I don't think that Noah understood everything about the ark, but the most important thing that he understood was it's God's design. And while he was doing what God had told him to do in building the ark, it was what was going to bring salvation. It was what was going to deliver him. In Galatians, in chapter, let me get over there myself, chapter 4, verse 4 and 5 says, "But when the fullness of the time was come," how long? Why did it take 120 years? God had a purpose for the time. Why did it take the time that it did for the Old Testament to present the New Testament? It was God's timing. That's God's part. That's not man's part. We can't design that. We can't understand that. We can't put a number to it. But we know that God had a time. And in the fullness of God's timing, he sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. Mark in chapter 15. Mark in chapter 15. I'm still looking at the blood. Mark in chapter 15 and verse 37. Jesus came. Why 33 years? A lot of speculation on that. Some say that's prime. That's how old everyone will be in heaven. I don't know. There's no age in heaven, so I don't know that that can be the truth. They're not going to be younger or older, and our bodies are going to be glorified, so I don't know age would matter. But why 33 years? There's a lot of things that we have questions about that one day they'll all be made clear to us, and we'll be able to understand them at one point in time. But right now, can I tell you the most important thing for us to understand? God's design. It's his part. It's beyond human comprehension to understand all there is about the design. That's why God designed it. Our part is to just do what he's told us to do. Verse 37, Mark 15, and Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. What happened? The blood was shed. God's blood. Precious, pure blood. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Once the blood was shed, there was access now to God. Through the blood, there's access. That's what that means right there. When the temple, it was having to do with the holiest of holies of the temple and the veil that was there. And once Christ sacrificed, once he paid that price, there's now access to God for all who go through the blood. God's design. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. So as Noah never lost sight of the ark being God's design, neither should we, the blood. Everything that goes along with that. Never lose sight. It's God's design. And there's no salvation outside of the blood. Not only did Noah just stay focused on God's design and doing his part, the second thing we find here in our text, if you go back to chapter 6, Noah's work helped him prepare for God's deliverance. What Noah was doing for 120 years in building the ark prepared him for God's deliverance of Noah. Noah would be familiar with every inch of the ark. Who would better know the ark outside of God who designed it than the one that God used to build it? If you've ever done any construction, if you've ever did something with yourself, you know, there's certain things that only you know that might be a little imperfection. No one else is going to pick up on some of those things, but because you were doing the construction, you know exactly. And every time you go into that room, that's what you see. As I used to rebuild cars, I used to take wrecks and rebuild them and do all the different things. And I can make it look really good as if it was brand new to most people. Most people would look at that and say, man, it looks like it come off the showroom. I don't see anything wrong with it. But in the background, I knew some of the little things that I knew that I could not get back to perfection, but I knew how to cover it up. Now, it would not make a difference in how it would drive or how it would handle. I would not do anything that would be unsafe, but I knew how to cover up some of the imperfections because that was the trade that I was in. There was nobody that would have understood any more about this ark than what Noah did because God used Noah to build it. 2 Timothy chapter 2. The blood and what Christ established before he shed his blood. What he brought to us. He brought to us the completion of the revelation of the Word of God. Amen. He brought to us the New Testament church. That helps us understand what Paul would give Timothy in chapter 2 and verse 15. Study. To show thyself approved unto God. What are you studying, Timothy? The very words of God. The design of God. This Bible reveals the design of God for Christianity. The Bible reveals that God, the design of God for how we are to live our lives in every aspect of our lives. And so now he's telling Timothy here, Paul here is telling Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God. He knows it. It's his design. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I don't know about you, but when I saw that, I'm just shouting. I'm just saying, praise the Lord for that, because that helps me to better understand why I need to understand God's word, why I need to read it, why I need to study it, because it's God's design. For as long as you live on this earth, for the rest of your life, it is what reveals to you God's design for your life, and it's the very thing that will deliver you. It's the very thing that gives us insight into what it takes for a man, a woman, or a child of the age of accountability to go to heaven. To have the blessings of God, to have God on your side, to be able to pray and fast and have answers to prayer, be able to establish a home that God can bless, be able to establish relationships that God can bless. The design is right here. No one should better understand that than the born-again believer. It's God's design, but he's told you to preach it, to live it, to share it, so the others might live. Noah to be familiar with. So Noah's work helped him prepare for God's deliverance. For he knew the ark. The 120 years had allowed Noah time to establish a godly testimony on earth. Not an easy time. In chapter 7 and verse 1, chapter 7, verse 1, our text here, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou, it's been 120 years, he says, and all thy house unto the ark, for thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation. For 120 years, God says, I've seen you live righteously. For 120 years, I've seen you and your family have a desire to do right. And for 120 years, you have been the light of the world. For 120 years, you have been the salt of the earth. Now it's time for you to get on the ship. Time for the deliverance. For 120 years, no doubt in that society, especially the closer you get to where Noah was, everyone knew about the construction out in the desert. Hard telling everything they said about Noah. I mean, there's probably stories, there was story after story going around about what he was doing, especially when the animals started showing up. He's some kind of a wizard out there. He's playing some kind of music that draws all the animals to him. Who knows? 2 Peter chapter 5. 2 Peter chapter 5. This we do know during that time because the Bible reveals it to us. 2 Peter chapter 2. God seen Noah's righteous behavior. And knowing that it was a witness to the rest of the world. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, it says this, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. We know one thing that he did. He preached righteousness. He was no respecter of persons, I don't think. I don't think he changed his message with whoever was around. He just continued to preach righteousness. No matter what the world said was right and wrong, Noah stood by what he knew God, where God wanted him to stand. In Luke in chapter 18, Luke in chapter 18, we know that this would not have been an easy thing, but we find a little more insight during the 120 years that Jesus tells us. In Luke in chapter 18, some things, this very same thing that we know that he was a preacher of righteousness. in Luke in chapter 18 and verse 26. No, that's not, that's the wrong verse there that I got down there. What it revealed is, without looking for that, it revealed that he said that Noah, the preacher of righteousness, he was talking about when he was going to come back, before Christ would come back, that the world would still be doing the very same things. The world would be marrying. The people of the world would be living an ungodly life. The people of the world would continue to be living as they were living. Even though Noah was there preparing the ark, they were living as if there was no God, and they were living without the imminent judgment of God was coming. That's how they were living. The world living as if there were no God. No danger of there being an eternal hell. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 58. So we find this is what Noah was doing. He was a preacher of righteousness. He was doing what God would have him do. 120 years when the people around him, they didn't believe in God. The people around him did not share his same convictions on what was righteous. They would just continue to marry and living it up and living as if there was no God and no imminent danger coming. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, therefore, now if you would read chapter 15, you'd realize that Paul had just revealed that Christ was coming. There would be a rapture. And he said, knowing this, knowing that there is going to become a judgment, and knowing that it begins, the day of the Lord is going to begin with the rapture, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be a steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Yeah. I love, what a blessing that is. Yeah. Therefore. You know it's God's design, you know it's coming, no matter who else is living right, no matter how anyone, whatever anyone else's belief is, it's always a blessing to be able to have a congregation of people of like faith, like-mindedness, who believe the doctrines of the Word of God. But no matter what, even if you're like Noah, I believe there's some cities around this great nation, there no doubt there's places around the world, or there's not much of a witness, but there is a witness. I think there's possibly Noah's all around the world today in areas that are void of biblical understanding. And they just stay focused on God and the work that He's given them to do. We read about them in our missionary reports every Wednesday night. They're posted up in their hallway there. Because it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, those of you that know, understand, you have been saved, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Just keep focused on the work that God's called you to do, for as you know that your labor is not in vain. Whatever you're doing for the Lord, He sees it. Go back and what we looked there in the book of Genesis there in chapter 7. It didn't say the people of the world acknowledged it, but God said, I've seen it. I've seen your righteousness. I've seen your heart. I've seen your desire to do right and live right and be all that you can be and continue to preach righteousness to those around you. I've seen it. It's not in vain. It's going to be part of God's deliverance for Noah. Well, it's time now. Go back with me. Genesis chapter 7. The last thought here. Chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Now, everything else we've studied, everything else was there that had taken place Noah just, for 120 years, been faithful doing these things. Everything had been going on. He finally heard what he had been waiting on for possibly 120 years. Come thou and all thy house into the ark. He didn't tell him, go into the ark. Bob, if I told you to go through that door over there. Bob, if he thought I really wanted him to, he would get up and he would go through that door over there. But if I say, Bob, come up on the platform. I would say, come, because that's where I'm at. If I'm not there, I'd say, go through that door, and whatever's there is there. You go ahead and go through that door. But that's not what God told Noah. When it came time for Noah to find the deliverance that God had for Noah and his family and for whoever else would have believed the righteousness of Noah and preached, he tells Noah at this time, come. It reveals that God was already in the ark. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. Verse 16. The end of the Word of God. The Bible says, verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. In the churches. Place of refuge during this church age is the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Didn't tell us to go. Because we're going to come to be with the Lord. Come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. God would say after 120 years, who knows why and the timing? That's only God knows that. Who knows how much longer it'll be before we hear those words? The trumpet sounds. He calls us up. I don't know. I know it could be tonight. Could be another 20 years. Could be another 100. I don't know. That's not what's most important. Most important is that we know it's coming. We let God do the things that He's in control of. And we focus on doing the things that He has given us to do. I love that too. 120 years. That's longer than any one of us will have to spend in waiting to hear the Lord's voice. I've been saved 50 years. I don't think I got another 70 to go. So I know that 120 years is plenty of time for us, this New Testament church age. And Noah remained faithful. That 120 years just focused on doing his part. Matthew chapter 11, I love this. This is the last verse we'll look at. Matthew chapter 11. That idea of coming unto the Lord. Because one day we'll hear that as we prepare to leave this world. But Noah wasn't actually leaving the world. He was getting on the boat that he would prepare to deliver him from the flood. And I don't know what all we're going to have to face, but I know that there was going to be a lot of scary nights, a lot of fearful things that Noah and his family would have to endure during that flood. Who knows how soundproof the ark was and what kind of noise they would hear, the people screaming from outside. Who knows just how much turbulence that the ark would have to go through and experience when the world was being destroyed during that 40 days and 40 nights, when all that flood from underneath and above was impacting the ark. But I believe that Noah continued to hear God's voice and saying, come into the ark. And I believe that's a comfort to us when we read in Matthew chapter 11, in verse 28, when Jesus said this, when he said, come unto me. I'm there, just come to me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. To hear the voice of God saying, come to me, when you're facing some of the very scary things of life, what a blessing that is. The only greater blessing will be when we hear that voice saying, come unto heaven. One day, and I believe soon, we will hear from God. And what we will hear him say is, it's time. Come. Until we hear that, just keep on working. Until we hear that, just keep on doing what we know God would have us to do. He's outlined it, designed the Bible right here. Get to better know the Bible. Get to better understand the very design and the words of God. And that's a life that we live as Christians. Who knows what's going to take place around us? No one can say. Now we have some insight into the latter days and what we're going to have to face. But what's most important is, let God be God. Let him control what we can't control. Stay focused on what God's given us to do. And do it. What a great message in the life of Noah. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed.